The subject matter is music. Exactly. Say it again. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Music. Everybody gets a little nervous when the preacher starts to talk. Is he going to say, my music bad? I've been listening to... Let me tell you. Music is so important and power in our lives that we need to address it. We need to address music. Let me tell you something. Just because someone has a Grammy thanks Jesus, it doesn't sanctify their music. Oh. So when preachers bring up the subject of music, we all get a little nervous. Just be thankful this is not Jamie. Hey, music's pretty important to most of us. Yeah, right here. I've had it for 48 long years. I've had this ring. No, this is my second wedding ring. The first one is at the bottom of a lake somewhere. Where did music get its start anyway? Where did music come from? Well, in Genesis, I looked it up. Genesis 4:21 is the first I could find. Genesis 4:21, and his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. Music. So I'm not sure because I wasn't there, but I'm sure it was around before then. But here we have this reference to musical instruments, the harp and the organ. I want us to think about music because it's been around a long time. Think about it for a minute. All you need to do, Tim, is take a channel 1 slider down just a little, not much. Might help, might not. Or take channel 2 all the way down. That might help too. Let's think about music for a minute. It is something that I believe is powerful, for sure. People will gather in very large numbers just to hear it. And it doesn't have to be in a stadium or an arena. They'll go to a park. Listen, I don't know how old I was, 11 years old, and it was in upstate New York that the great, what was it called? Woodstock, I just was seeing who knew about that. Woodstock took place, and we had all of these people come through on their way to a farmer's field. That's all it was a farmer's field in central northern New York. And all these people gathered, young people, made a mess of things and so forth. But all they did is they came to hear different artists play and sing. Music, it will get you to go somewhere, I guess. Now, I'm not going to ask, this is not a rhetorical question either, but it's like, you know, you think about, what do you think the greatest musical instrument is? I've put a lot of thought into that. And I think that the most incredible musical instrument ever created is the human voice box. And it's because it's the only musical instrument that you could put words to with it. Words are already powerful. And when you put a tune and accompaniment to it, something happens. There's something going to happen, all right? I think instrumentals are powerful too. But nothing is as powerful as when you bring it all together and then you put words to it. It has stickability in your mind and sometimes in your heart. That music can move people. It can move them either to be good or evil or to have fun, or it can have a calming effect. It can inspire you. Dun 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 dun. It can draw praise of our God out of you. Or it can be used for the devil's purposes. Let me tell you something. Everyone in ministry ought to spend some time in a nursing home. You'll find something about music in nursing homes. Now, folks, in my opinion, you have a 99% chance of only leaving a nursing home one way, and that is horizontal. You're done. Your life's about over. Your family doesn't have the ability to take care of you. You need 24/7 care. And so there you are, amongst others, in the same boat. I can't believe that's exciting, but anyway. So in our younger days, maybe way younger days, we had a little choir. And on a Sunday afternoon, get this, on a Sunday afternoon, we would set up in the nursing home's cafeteria. And there were some that came in and sat in chairs, but most of our congregation, others either wheeled them in or they wheeled themselves in wheelchairs. Either by their family or nurses. Sometimes families would come visit on Sunday afternoon. Then the last ones to come in, the last ones, were the ones that really didn't know where they were. Okay? I called them slumpers. They would just slump, they slumped in their wheelchair, dirty bib on, hair unkept, glasses, faces drawn, and they didn't know where they were. And as a young person, I'm like, why bother? Why bother? So they would come in nodding, sometimes calling out in pain, or just calling out. I'll never forget. I think we were on the second verse of Leave a Lot of Happy Tracks. Leave a lot of happy tracks. Everywhere you go, leave a lot of happy tracks. We're singing Leave a Lot of Happy Tracks. And one of the slumpers raised up her head and said, make them stop. Make them stop. And we're all kind of like looking at each other. Leave a lot of happy tracks. We just kept going on. My dad would always preach the gospel with little or no response. And sometimes you don't know what's going on in the heart of the person. But my friends, no matter how bad it seemed, when we would sing, but when we got to the, and we always sang this song too, when we got to the chorus of this song, whoever was in the room, seated in the chair, seated in a wheelchair, whatever it might be, the slumpers included, when we began to sing these words, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. See, you did just like they did. Everybody in the room would begin to sing. They all knew the words. And it astounded us every time. We thought this person was all gone, all half comatose. But then they would begin to move their mouth and begin to sing. Sometimes those sleepers would begin to weep at the sound of that song. Powerful. Powerful music can be. There's something else I don't understand about music. Maybe somebody smarter than me does. Somehow, Music is linked to your memory. Your brain is created to remember songs. David wrote in songs so that we could remember them. Have you ever heard a song you haven't heard in 50 years, if you're old enough? Or as a little kid, you heard it as a little kid, you haven't heard it forever. You hear one note and you can sing right along with it. I don't know what that is. It's amazing. Music has perhaps a deeper effect and a more lasting effect on us than we know. Now, I believe the Bible is clear. In Ephesians 5:11, starting with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 11. Ephesians 5:11, and have no fellowship. No fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Let me reread that. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. None. But rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he, the Lord, says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Make good use of your time, because the days are evil that we live in. And boy, I thought the 80s were bad. But I would trade those days any time for the days that we live in right now. You will think the days are as evil as evil can be. It is incredible. Because of the increased population, there's more capacity for evil. The days that we live in are evil. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine. That's in your Bible. I don't know, somebody estimate, I don't know what the estimate is, how much beer will be sold today. They're having a little thing called the Super Bowl. They call it the Super Bowl. Two no-account teams in it, but yeah. Anyway. Be not drunk with wine. Why? Because there's excess in there. Wherein is excess? You do things you're not supposed to do. Instead of that, be filled with the Spirit. Part of being filled with the Spirit is speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Woo! Anybody ever told you, you're a bad singer? You ever get kicked out of choir? You ever sit next to somebody in church and you're standing there, you're singing, the person next to you goes like this? It's not because they're trying to find their note. But when you're singing with the Spirit, He doesn't care what note you're on. Hallelujah. I try to get this through to you people. We just need to sing anyway. Hallelujah. We got to make some melody in our heart. Where? To the Lord. In that, give thanks always for all things unto the God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. To me, I do not pretend to be comprehensive today at all. I am just going to give you some groundwork, some structures. To me, there seems to be three sources of music. One source of music is God Himself. It's God-produced music. The second is mankind. It's in man's mind or a woman's mind. It comes through mankind. The origin is in man. And the third kind is the devil's music. Music from hell. And I'm going to take just a few minutes today. I'm going to take them in reverse order because I want to end on a good note. See, it's a sermon on music and I want to end on a good note. Okay. I just came up with that too, by the way. It's important to understand the difference and have the ability to discern. For each will affect you in a way, and that will affect you for more than a minute. The devil's music. You don't have to go very far to hear it. You see these pictures. I've only saw them in pictures, never experienced one in my life. These nasty concerts, perhaps heavy metal concerts, or whatever you want to call them, with everyone throwing, the devil sign around, and they're filthy cursing, or the cursing lyrics of a rap. I hesitate to call it a song. I don't know what they are, but it's just, to me, it's not real music, but and they're filthy lyrics and all of this. It's pretty easy for us to determine that that's coming from hell. It was had its origins not with good things. It's wicked. It's wicked from the beginning. All of that. And no, you should not allow your children to listen to it to figure out what kind of music that they like. Hogwash. It's time for parents to be parents again. No, kid, I'll tell you what you listen to. I'll tell you something else. You shouldn't listen to it. I don't care if you used to be a drug addict and loved them. I don't care. You don't listen to it anymore. You're entertaining demons, my friend. You don't believe me, but it's true. You're entertaining demons. Let's go a little further. Well, what about pretty songs with suggestive lyrics that are enticing you to be immoral, even though the kind of very nice lyrical move or filled with a little country hate because your boyfriend broke up with you. What's her name there? Taylor Swift has made $1 billion telling people how her boyfriend broke up with her. I'm not even sure she ever had a boyfriend, but lots of them, Debbie. You would know. Listen, it doesn't matter if it's a catchy country song, a heavy rock song, or a pretty little old school song. If it's not, if you can discern that it's not just from the heart of man, that there is evil tones underneath that thing, stop listening to it, and for sure, quit singing along. You know, it's easier to listen to a tune that may be catchy, but the words are not good. Because we remember. God sticks it in there somehow. And you've got to be so careful. You know, I don't like the words, but I like the tune. I don't like my liver, but I like my kidneys. You got to have both, all right? They're kind of stuck together. Could it be, friends, that God would resist us just because of the music we fill our ears with? Could He resist us because of our minds and our hearts have music in there that doesn't belong there? All right, let's all just go like this right now. Can music actually weaken your faith in the Lord? when you put so much emphasis in your music, listen, I believe you should love your spouse. I think you should love her forever and so forth and all of it. But when she becomes, when in your music she's more important than the Lord you serve, when you make decisions to please your wife more than pleasing Jesus, you're going to be in trouble eventually. Because she'll wait for you to leave for a few days and go shopping when you're gone on the other side of the country. And fill your already full house with things. Some of them are on the wall. Some of them are on the shelf. And lots. I was standing in our kitchen sink last night, and I looked up and like, don't recognize that. I don't recognize that. I don't recognize that. And for fun, just before I went to bed, so our sink is this wide, and there's a window above it and a ledge. I counted how many knick-knack thingy things are on our 26. And if you count the wall behind it, it's 32. I don't know, but I did. I love Debbie. We've loved each other. Well, I've loved her for 48 years. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder, but but she doesn't come before Jesus. I know Valentine's Day is coming up, but let me tell you, sorry. If you make your family number one, you're making a grave error. And if you're listening to music that makes your family number, Jesus has got to be my first priority. Though none go with me, still I will follow. If you discern that any music, whether you've listened to it in the past or not, is from Satan's playlist, cut it out of your life with a sharp knife. If you're old, throw the vinyl record away. Find the CD or the memory stick. Toss it. Throw it away. Don't give it to somebody else. Throw it away. Rid it from your life and rid it from your life immediately. It is like a little poison every day. And it will poison you more and more as you go down. And it becomes trouble. You might think that I am overstating this. Okay, so think that. But I am just telling you today, the devil's playlist is there to corrupt you and to hurt you and to wound you. It's there to wound your family. It's there to make you think wrong thoughts. It's there to bring everything evil onto your life, whether you like the tune or not, or whether you like the beat of the song or the rhythm of the song or not. It's there to destroy you. And I am telling you, treat it like poison. Get rid of it. Get as far away from you as you can get it. Now the most difficult one, man's music, which is a little bit different. I think it can be good or bad or indifferent. It is probably the most common music out there for all time. Man had a feeling and he wanted to put it to music. Most classical music is man's music. The orchestra music and all that as a kid you hated. Like, you're making me listen to what? William Tell Overture what? And they're like, okay, Cece, you're thrown. You know, they're like, all right, you're the one kid. I mean, he felt something. He sat down and wrote out a concerto or something. He didn't really pull it from heaven or hell. He just had a feeling. He felt a certain way, and he was smart, so he began to write out a score of music. Perhaps he wanted to highlight a particular instrument or something, so he wrote something to show off that instrument, blah, blah, blah. Much popular music is man's music. Subjects of love and compassion or joy over a situation, they write songs about that. Maybe, you know, you've been married for a long time, you want to reaffirm your love and all of that kind of stuff. There's not necessarily that hear me clearly. There is not glorification of evil or righteousness. It is people's expressions of their feelings. What are we supposed to do that? What are we supposed to do with feelings? Nothing more than feelings. Y'all laughing because, like, you know the rest of the song. Feelings. All right. What I caution you is be careful what man's music you are listening to, because it's meant to move you in a particular direction, whether you know it or not. And one must be very discerning before you fill your life with it. Some of it can move you to tears. Others can move you to laughter. But just remember, there is a thing with music in your memory, and you must be cautious before you give yourself to any man's music. Sometimes you have to ask the Lord, "Lord, should I be singing along with this song or not? Is this going to be profitable for me? Or what is this? Want me to move on?" All right, I'm going to take another little step here. Just remember, I love you. This is where I'll be criticized, but nonetheless, I feel that the Holy Ghost brought this to me. So I'm just going to say it. Most, quote, Christian music today is man's music. It may talk about the relationship between God and man, but it has just been drummed up in a writer's room in order to create a hit. Oh, nobody shout me down now. They've written something that will get radio time or be played on YouTube. It may be emotional in nature and even move you, but it isn't God's music, it's man's. Now, this is, it's tricky. "Oh, Pastor, we know you old-fashioned." I understand. You can like it or not. That's up to you. Our mistake is when we think all so-called Christian music is God's music, and it is absolutely not. When there's wrong doctrine in the song, it's not God's music. God's music always has correct doctrine in it. And that's for the whole song. Every line has to be accurate. Not some of the lines or most of the lines. All the lines have to be accurate. No matter how good the band is playing it, and no matter how many times they crescendo and decrescendo, no matter how many times they modulate, it's still man's music. I've seen folks try to make man's music God's music. Like the writer did it for a job, and the singer tries to make it God's music, and they work hard at it, and a lot of people are fooled. But just so you understand, it's still man's. We have become enamored in Christian or in church circles with man's music being played for God's music. Yes, it can even make you cry. It still isn't God's music, and I'll tell you why in a second. But it is produced by men, listen to me, for man. If it's a slower song, it is made to move you emotionally. Preachers can do the same thing. You manipulate a congregation by pulling on their emotional strings. It is not correct to do that purely for that reason. We can be moved by preaching. Somebody's preaching, it gets us fired up. There's nothing wrong with that kind of thing. But when I intentionally say, and let me tell you, there are Christian speakers out there that intentionally say, "I'm going to start to cry here." It's in their notes. so that they can move people to a certain... That's not the anointing. That's fake. Garbage. It's the same with music, friends. The church has fallen in love with man's music. Oh, Jesus. And I hope I'm not being overcritical. But when you let not only man's music, but in my opinion, some of the devil's music into the house of God, in order to prove a point that you're cool, you're hip, that we accept sinners into this place, like I said, you're so far away, I don't know if I can help you. Jesus don't need no help from the devil to get you saved, all right? Oh, Pastor, you just don't like anything new. You're stuck in the past. You can't move with the times around. Matt was talking with another pastor this last week. He said, listen, and I've heard this so many times, it kind of makes me throw up in my mouth. We've got to change our methods to reach this next generation. The word, the message stays the same. We got to change our methods. Well, just as soon as you can show me a scripture for that. My Bible says, go preach the gospel to every creature. Jesus is enough, friends. He was enough for the first 100 years, and He is enough for generation AA or Z or whatever they are today. It's just Jesus. His blood's already done the work. It's still doing the work, all right? You want to chase after new methods? That's all you do is chase after methods. And pretty soon, after a while, you find yourself in the midst of a congregation playing with beach balls, looking for a next spotlight to hit, or getting the next t-shirt out of the potato shooter. You're still looking for that, and you call it a church service, and I'm telling you, God's not coming. The Holy Ghost's not coming. He's not coming. When you and I try to figure out something to move people, including music, no, that's not our job. It's the Holy Ghost's job to move people, not me. You can't move with the times, Pastor. That's why so few people come to your church. Whatever. I don't know. I had a guy come in. If you updated your music, more people would come. I told him, yeah, but would I like the people that came? The kind of people that music attracts, I'm not sure I heard. More people would come. I go, let me tell you who's not coming back. You. Anyway. Answer me this. Why don't congregations sing anymore? Vast majority of congregations come to church and they do not sing. One of the most blessed things, you could be Baptist or Pentecostal, whatever. When you walk into a church service and you hear the people sing. I'm thankful for microphones and stuff like that. We get started on time and on the song and stuff. But man, there is nothing like hearing a congregation sing. Yeah. You hear a congregation say, this is my story, this is my song, praising my... Oh, hallelujah. Suddenly you know, oh, God might show up here today. I have something for us to consider. Why is the platform with the mics on it, why do they sing but the pews don't? That's because we're trying to make man's music God's music. And we think if we perform man's music well enough, it will do God's purposes. And it doesn't do it. Sorry. Doesn't. You're here today. You don't sing during the song service start. We sing everything 2 or 3 times. You should at least get it by the 3rd time. I mean, it's not hard. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. You can remember that. We put it to music. There is power. Power. Wonder where it can pop. Those are not hard words. You can sing. Folks, you might be intimidated because the person next to you goes like this every time you sing. Let him do it. Now, if they do this, you might have a real problem. So what? We're here to sing. We're here to sing God's music unto the Lord, to bless Him and to glorify Him. We're not trying to make a star out of somebody on the platform. We're not trying to make a star out of a songwriter. We want to bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. You ought to sing. You know, I've never sung good in all my life. I'm not asking how good you can sing. You ought to learn how to sing. Whether you're on pitch, off pitch, in tune, out of tune, sing anyway. Because it's going to help you. I'm going to show you here. Get off of this thing. You see, listening to music is one thing. But singing and playing it is something that we, with God's music, we must do. We must do it. The scripture we just read in Ephesians 5, he says you're going to be spirit-filled, and then you're going to start to sing. Spiritual songs and hymns, making melody in your heart. Go ahead and sing. God put a voice box in most of us. Some people weren't born with that. So they could sing, they sing with their hands. But honey, God gave you a voice box. Part of the reason He gave you a voice box is sing unto the Lord a new song. It is as important when you are singing in the shower as in church. And Jesus gives us songs. Lastly, I want to touch God's music. Let me try and describe God's music for you. God's music is written under the unction of the Holy Ghost. It is played under the unction of the Holy Ghost. And is sung under the unction of the Holy Ghost. That is God's music. You can have a writer who writes a piece of God's music, and I'll describe what that is in a second. And you have somebody who's not living the Lord trying to sing it. It devalues it. Just as we receive messages from the Lord and preach them, so a songwriter will get a message from the Lord and put it to music. But the inspiration must come from heaven. For it to be God's music, the origin of the song must be heaven. It has to be heaven set. That's what I mean by the unction of the Holy Spirit. It's not a desire to write a hit gospel tune. It's not for the purpose of commercial stuff. Not singing it or under making it a hit or getting recognized because now I'm a good songwriter or famous people are singing my songs now. There's nothing like that. It's simply a song that will glorify the Lord Jesus and what He is doing in our lives. God's music is pure. God's music is scriptural. Verse 1, 2, 3, 4, and the chorus are all scriptural. And if you're a Spirit-filled believer, you can sense the Holy Spirit all over it. And most of us should be able to sing it. This, my friends, is what you should listen the most of. These God songs is what you should sing along with in your car. Because music affects you. Who cares who won a Grammy? Ask your question, is it music from heaven? Is it music from heaven? Has this been inspired by the Holy Spirit? It will certainly cut down on the number of songs you have. As you listen and sing God's music, it will move you into a deeper way than other music. It can actually, the word, because it has words to it, can change how you think about things. It'll get stuck in your soul. It'll get stuck in your mind. But more importantly, God's music is the only thing that will get stuck in your spirit. Everything else can get caught in your soul or your mind. But there's only one kind of music that touches your spirit, and that's God's music. Sing it. Listen to it. Come on now. Now, maybe it's just me, but I'm pretty sure there's other people. Often I wake up in the morning with a God song in me. One day I woke up, is a hymn I hadn't heard for years, and I'm singing it. And it's like, he just came to me in my sleep and said, sing, I don't know. But God's music, when you, it's in your spirit, not just your soul. Your soul is your emotions, but your spirit is held exclusively for God's things. It will move your spirit. It will help me to determine, I say it, I decided to follow Jesus. It will help you determine what you're going to do that day. These are what those old hymns desired to do. The men and women sat down to make God's music. They would say, oh Lord, this is how I feel. Is this proper? Should I put it down? Should I write the lyrics out? Should I put music to go along with the lyrics? That when you have people that say, I just want to please God. I don't want to make man's music. I don't want to make man's music and tell God he has to accept it. I want God to inspire me as I do these things. And the more you're aware of this, the more you're able to spot the real from the fake from quite a ways away. You'll wake up with it. Yes, it matters how the author of the song lives. I'll just say that again. It matters how the author of the song lives. It matters how the preacher lives. It matters how the songwriter lives. It matters how the singer lives. It matters how the piano player lives. It matters what the drummer lives, how the drummer lives. It matters how what the bass player plays. It matters what he lives. Every part of it, every part and parcel of it, it matters. And when you are dealing with God's music and you're outside of God's will and plan, it's not good, my friend. We need, when we come and we're going to try to have music in this church, we've got to try, this platform better be right with God. All right, God's music's not going to come out. It might have started that way, but it filters through evil people. It comes out, man's music is not that good. You understand? Find music that not only affects your soul, but affects your spirit too. I don't want to have to tell this publicly, but I guess I will. Some years ago, Jen made me a memory stick with lots of songs on it. And I would say the vast, vast majority of those songs is God music. The ones that I don't feel like, I can hit a button and fast forwards through it. I've had the same memory stick for 5 years. It's not a huge list. It's big, but it's not huge, friends. You begin to restrict yourself. What you thought might have been okay here before might not be okay. I'm not going to tell you what to listen to or what not to listen to, but I am telling you, would you get your discernment and say, does that thing make me want to praise the Lord, to be thankful to Jesus? Does that make me want to flow in the Holy Ghost? Does that do, what is this? What, ask yourself, what is this song doing to me? What is it doing to me? You can sit through something that for most of us is relatively boring. It's called Handel's Messiah. And for the most part, I know you guys went to, didn't you go down to the Phoenix and listen to it one time? And it's like, okay, yeah, that's good, that's good. But when you get towards the end, and the choir and the orchestra move over to, and he shall reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they start singing this. And then those sopranos, the real high, they start
singing that hallelujah up there. Hallelujah. Listen, the old wicked king of England couldn't sit still listening there. He had to stand and recognize that he wasn't the baddest king in the world, but there was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's the kind of stuff I want to get into my soul. I can throw away most of the other stuff, but I don't want to throw that away. All right. I'm not asking you to go home today and throw away music. I'm asking you to run your music by the Holy Ghost. We have to, in this church, run the music by the Holy Ghost to see if He approves it or not. Not whether it's catchy. Or not whether it's popular or being played on Christian radio or not. We have to say, Lord, is this your approval? You got the devil's music? You want nothing to do? Man's music? I don't know. You do whatever you want there as long as the Lord leads you here. But God's music causes something to happen inside of me that will be with me forever. Walt Mills, great songwriter, singer, lover of the Lord. We're standing, not behind this pulpit, but behind the older pulpit. We're standing right here. And he looked at me and he asked me this, Scott, do you think any of my songs will be sung in heaven? And I said, well, Brother Mills, yes. The ones that got their start there. If it started there, they'll still be there when you get there. If they came from heaven, then we'll sing them. I sort of kind of feel like, Holy Spirit, flow through me. I think we'll probably sing that. Now, Jesus will give you this sensory tool to know. He will help you. He will help you. He will help you to forget all the foolish commercial ditties for unpronounceable drugs. He'll help you to forget it. But I bet you there's 20 people in this room could sing one of those little ditties about a drug that you can't pronounce. I bet you Deb can right now. Sky Rizzy. Friends, it's why I reject most of the so-called Christian music that is so popular today, because the Holy Spirit does not greenlight it. I'm going to be frank. Oh, my goodness. All right. I've tried. I've tried not to be stuck in the mud old. I tried to listen to some of the leadership in our fellowship that says, you've got to change your music or you won't reach anyone for Jesus. I've tried to do that. I've tried to sit and listen to some of this stuff. And I've asked one question, Holy Spirit, cause it to bear witness with me if it's from you. And I'm still waiting. It's not bearing witness with me. What am I supposed to do? Just go along with it? Because people who have not committed their lives to Jesus Christ, they're half Christian, half in the world, want to come to a church where they can sing it? And feel good about themselves? Stop at the bar on the way home and still feel good about themselves? Is that who we're supposed to bow to now? There's a spirit to much of it, but it's just not the Holy Spirit. All right, I'm done. Tim, come give these people some God music on that piano. Why would I wait? Didn't waste your time. Why would I take your time today talking about this? Because it's so very important in your life. It's important in my life. Listen, get alone with Jesus, and He will show you. Scott is out. Oh, but Jesus. It's out. You can like something else. He will show you. Because Jesus never lies.
The Holy Ghost never, ever lies. He always knows what's best for us. And my prayer for all of us is that we may be able to sing unto the Lord that which pleases Him and is good for us. It pleases Him and it's good for us. When I sing of my faith in Him, it pleases Him. My hope is in You, Lord. My life is in You. It pleases the Lord. It's good for Him. He wants to hear you sing. Did you know that? The Lord wants to hear you sing unto Him. It's His fault if He gave you a flat ear or something that you can't hear. You don't know what right note is or not. He'll deal with that in eternity. I want to encourage each of us today. Listen and sing God's music. Feast on God's music. You can't filter everything. If you watch anything, if you're going down the street, whatever, there's music all around us. You ever see a commercial without music? You know why? Because it moves you. And then it sticks with you. Feast on God music. It'll help you. Wake up with a Jesus song. Don't waste your time on stuff that man stuff. Wake up with a Jesus song. Your morning will go better. Go to bed with a Jesus song. You'll sleep better. Sing in your head. Sing out loud. Because He deserves the glory. And He deserves all the honor. Hallelujah. He wants to let music flourish in my soul so I never forget all that He's done for me. When I sing, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm reminded that He set me free. Would you stand together with me? I know this is more of a teaching than a preaching. But some of us in the room might need a chance to repent. Your favorite pop group that you grew up with. We all know the best music was the 70s. We all know that. Not a question. But it can't be number one. It can't be. No. Some of us need to get delivered from our favorite groups. It's amazing to me. The church has thrown out all the old music. And all the old timers, all the old rock groups are still going. They're still having concerts. And people are still flocking to them. And there's young people going to it. Maybe somebody's lying to us. Lord, we come before You today. And truly, all the really good music comes from heaven. Comes out of the heart of God. Today comes via the Holy Spirit. I pray for each one of us, everybody, of course myself included, that we'd fill our minds, our hearts, our soul with God music. That we wouldn't settle for man's music just because it's sweet. That we would never waste a minute listening to devil music or singing along with devil music. Not once. Lord, cut it out of our lives 100%. If we love some old hard rock druggy group, Lord, I pray that You take the desire to listen to that music away. For oil and water cannot mix. Good fruit and bad fruit can't come out of the same branch. Teach us, O Lord, the value of Your music. And Lord, I pray that You'd give each one of us songs in our hearts unto the Lord. I pray especially for those that are discouraged and depressed and oppressed today. That as they sing the songs of Zion, they sing the songs of the Lord, that their spirit would be moved to throw off the heaviness that the enemy has come and put on their shoulders and put on their minds, the dark cloud he has infected them with, that they might be able to live freely in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I pray for those that are sick, that they would sing like Ed sang, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you. That they might recover. Glory to God. Hallelujah. May we sing songs of faith that honor our Savior. May they always be on our lips. May they always be in our mind. May they flow from our spirit through our soul and out to a hurting world. Hallelujah. That we might be reminded of God's goodness, His grace, His mercy, His love, and His judgment. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you tonight, 6 o'clock.